Welcome back to episode 12 of Sideline Sessions with Wesley Sykes. And I'm, of course, Wesley Sykes, the managing editor of Coach and Athletic Director, Training and Conditioning, and Winning Hoops Brands for Great American Media Services. And you can listen to our previous episodes anywhere you can access podcasts, as well as any of our websites, coachad.com, training-conditioning.com, and winninghoops.com. And be sure to follow our brands on Twitter at coach_AD, at train conditioning, and at winning hoops, and myself, if you'd like, at Wesley Sykes _. And for today's episode, I wanted to do something a little bit different here. I'm a big fan of TV shows and pop culture and media and all that sort of thing. So I think with every good sitcom, you have a clip show, right? So you have a little bit of a clip show. Maybe those call back to previous episodes. We won't do that because we did that already a couple episodes ago. But I have a few clips that I wanted to talk about and a little bit of an opening monologue here. So we have no scheduled guest. However, with the resumption of athletic activities seemingly all over the country now, I wanted to discuss what appears to be a growing trend, not just in athletics, but unfortunately our country and the world as a whole. And that's sadly people acting like jackwagons. Now I might see, you know, the proverbial eye roll from listeners right now, but like I said, I have three events that have occurred in different parts of the country over the last few weeks that I'm going to share with you and I'd like to discuss it. And we'll get there in just a moment. But first, as a journalist, I think there are two things that are true about myself. And one is that I have a love for cliches. And secondly, I believe sports serve as a microcosm for life, right? And perhaps because of the former, I believe in the latter. But stick with me here for a minute. So when I used to work on the news side of things for a publication in New Bedford, Massachusetts, which is a tough blue-collar city, it kind of reminds me of a lot of the Baltimore setting in The Wire, if you've ever seen that old HBO show. Where there's a lot of different things going on there. It's a blue collar kind of fishing city. So you have the element of the docks there, and it's just this 13 mile radius of, you know, we get everything, a big melting pot in there. And I started learning from this grizzled longtime reporter on the copy who kind of took me under his wing a little bit there. And I'm really grateful for that. And one of the first things he told me was that when the summer comes around, crazy things start to rise. Criminal activity starts to rise and people start to do crazy things, right? And when I asked why that was the case, I found his answer to be pretty simple, yet impactful, because, you know, I'm talking about it right now. And I think this can be applicable to the situation that I'm going to eventually get to. And he said something to the effect of people are bundled up in their homes all winter long. Again, this is a grizzled kind of northeastern New England town. And people just in general, are pent up in their homes all winter, hunker down and have this extra energy that they're ready to release. And there are also a ton of different factors that could affect that thought and what he was talking about. But I thought that nugget had always stayed with me. And you stick with that thought, and you flash forward to today, and we have all these student athletes and, you know, people in general pent up over the last year, being cooped up in their homes due to COVID, having no really outset of release there, and could be understandably frustrated from the ripple effects of this. So is it really a surprise when we see sort of irrational acts of lashing out, whether it's an announcer getting caught referring to a girls' basketball team with racial slurs, or a high school football team allegedly using anti-Semitic language in their play calls, or a collegiate basketball player receiving, you know, racist social media messages following a March Madness tournament loss? Well, you know, as inexcusable as these events are, you know, sadly, I'm not sure if it should be a surprise. It's not just a failure on these accused individuals, but the institutions that house them for not being prepared for, you know, this release of inevitable pent-up frustration, excuse me, and energy from the past year. And I think just like any good coach would say, you know, you have to harness that energy in a positive and controlled manner in order to succeed. And otherwise, a loss of that control can result in a breakdown of the unit, you know, a penalty, a loss, or all of the above. So, you know, I think we'll get into these issues here a little bit further. That's kind of my opening spiel. But like I said, let's get to some of the stories here. So maybe I can catch my breath a little bit. But first, we're going to start in my home state of Massachusetts, where we have a high school football team that is under fire. I believe this just came out. Today is Wednesday. Came out Tuesday evening of this week. So March 22nd, 23rd. But at any rate, so let's get into it here. So this football team was allegedly using anti-Semitic language in their play calling during a recent high school football game. And bear in mind here, this was the team's first game of the fall two season, quote. So after the 2020 fall season was postponed due to COVID. So this is their first game of the season. And this report comes from Channel 5 News, a Boston ABC affiliate.
On the hot seat tonight, Duxbury High School head football coach David Mamron. He and his team accused of using highly offensive and anti-Semitic language on the football field. School officials telling News Center 5 it has become clear that members of the Duxbury High School football team did in fact use anti-Semitic and potentially other inappropriate and derogatory language. We have been in touch with many members of the community, parents, and the Anti-Defamation League regarding the seriousness of these allegations.
Why did it take so long for someone to realize that using Auschwitz as a code name for a football play might be offensive?
Robert Trustin says the ADL is calling for an independent investigation and accountability.
The school officials need to find out exactly what happened, what language was used, how long this has been going on, who knew about it, and who might be responsible.
In a statement, Coach Mamron apologizes for what he calls inexcusable language during a March 12th game, saying the staff and the team have been transparent and cooperative with administration during this time, and we've taken responsibility for the incident. We are dealing with this as a team and focusing on the lessons we can learn from this. But sources tell News Center 5 this was not a one-time thing. Community leaders are calling for discussion and action.
I mean, I'm outraged, I'm saddened, but I'm excited that we're going to shine the light on something like this and model for everyone, including our young people, that we don't tolerate this in this town.
We've also learned a community group called Prejudice Free Duxbury has sent a letter to town selectmen demanding real action against intolerance. The town manager says we've received the letter and this issue will be on the agenda this Monday night at the selectmen's meeting. We're live in Duxbury.
All right. So that's once again, Channel 5 News, a Boston ABC affiliate there. And this to me comes solely to a coaching breakdown, in my personal opinion. You know, what do you allow to occur in your backyard? While everyone is certainly happy to have sports return to some semblance of normalcy, you know, there has to be order. There has to be some sort of regiment in place there. And although this could be a situation of the players kind of acting out on their own, this doesn't appear to be a spur of the moment occurrence to me, rather more of an indicator of something more systemic going on at play. And I think the Channel 5 report even suggests as much there if you go back and listen to it. So the big question here is what do you have to gain from this? You know, the that's often the question I ask myself when I'm met with difficult questions. You know, I wouldn't say I'm necessarily a religious person, but I'm religious. I went to Catholic high school. And one of the big things that stuck with me from those days was the idea of Paschal's wager. And just the long and short of it was, Paschal was trying to go around to convert people to Christianity in the ways of Jesus and the teachings and such not. And to get people to convince that way, he said, you know, just follow these 10 commandments. And if you don't believe in a God or a heaven, you know, you're just a good person at the end of the day. And if there is a God and a heaven, then you did these things right. So what's the downside of just living by these 10 commandments, so to speak? And that's kind of the way that I approach a lot of things in my own life here. So, you know, what's the downside of doing this? What do I have to gain from doing a situation like this? So if I do decide in this hypothetical scenario to incorporate anti-Semitic language into my playbook, what are the advantages here? Are there any? You know, it doesn't seem like it at all, to be honest with you. Yeah, risk analysis. I believe that's kind of the business term for it, right? So maybe that's where Pascal was kind of getting at there. But all right, so that's that, right? So we move on to Oklahoma, where this is a few weeks ago, I believe it was March 15th, where an announcer was caught on a hot mic using racist language to describe the Norman, Oklahoma girls basketball team, in which they were playing a state tournament game. I believe it was the quarterfinals, if I'm not mistaken, of the 6A girls state championship team. But prior to that game, the team knelt during the national anthem in unity. And while this conversation didn't go over the PA system, I believe it was broadcast over the live stream of the game through the NFHS network. So we covered the story on coachandad.com. It was a pretty viral story there. But here's the CNN report of the audio, of course, bleeped out because this is a family-friendly show.
And we will be right back here live after the national anthem, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, so a little bit of the audio there, so I hope that comes across well in the podcast there. But that was the name of the announcer was Matt Rowan. So as we outlined on the website, the video went viral after a girls' head coach Frankie Park shared the video on his Twitter page. The response from the involved parties here was pretty quick, involving, of course, Matt Rowan, who is the announcer here, and I have that pulled up, his apology. So I'll just read that for you here. I, Matt Rowan, on Thursday, March 11th, most regrettably made some statements that I cannot be taken back. During the Norman High School girls basketball game against Midwest City, I made inappropriate and racist comments, believing that the microphone was off. However, let me state immediately that is no excuse for such comments and have never been and should have never been uttered. Excuse me. I am a family man. I am married. I have two children and at one time was a youth pastor. I continue to be a member of the Baptist Church. I have not only embarrassed and disappointed myself, I embarrassed and disappointed my friends and family. I will state that I suffer from type 1 diabetes and during the game, my sugar was spiking. Which is an interesting excuse to use there, although, you know, who can deny that at this point? While not excusing my remarks, it is not unusual when my sugar spikes that I become disoriented and often say things that are not appropriate as well hurtful. I do not believe that I would have made such horrible statements absent my sugar spiking during this time. I was with a colleague and friend, Scott Sepulpa. Scott was not the one that made these comments. It was me and me alone. It is not my desire to shirk my responsibility in this matter and certainly do not want Scott to share in the blame of this unfortunate incident. And it goes on there a little bit further as well, but you get the idea there. And then again, just another response from Norman Superintendent Nick Migliorino. Geez, a couple of tough names here, so I apologize for the butchering that, but this was a statement to the Norman Transcript, the local paper in Oklahoma there. Quote, "We fully support our students' right to freedom of expression, and our immediate focus is to support these girls and their coaches and families, particularly our Black students and coaching staff. It is tragic that the hard work and skill of this team is being overshadowed by the vile, malignant words of these individuals. We will do everything in our power to support and uplift our team and everyone affected by this incident." So pretty strong statement there from Nick, I believe. And then lastly, from the NFHS network, who aired the unfortunate words of the announcer there, Matt Rowan. Quote, "We apologize for and are sickened by the comments made last night at the start of our broadcast of the OSSAA girls basketball game between Norman High School and Midwest City High School. The thoughts expressed in no way represent our network, and we are outraged that they found their way into the production. We are aggressively investigating the incident incident, and have immediately cut ties with the third-party production crew that was involved. The NFHS network firmly condemns racism, hate, and discrimination of any kind. We also deeply apologize to the students, their families, and the entire community for having such ignorant and hurtful comments expressed during the broadcast. All right, so that was a mouthful there. Again, what do you gain from all of this? Other than outing yourself to whomever else is in the press box room, let alone watching at home, now instead of harping on this anymore, I think the best news of this story was the Norman girls team putting all of this behind them and going on to win the state 6A class championship. So I think that's a big kudos to them. Much like the superintendent pointed out in his statement, it's tragic that the hard work and skill of this team is being overshadowed by the vile, malignant words of these individuals. So again, kudos to that team for once again, doing what they believed in, not backing down from, naysayers or negative comments or anything, and just continuing to do what they were told to do, which is their job, and play basketball and go out and win. So kudos to them. And lastly, we go to the collegiate level, where we have the star forward from the top-seeded Illinois Illini, and this is Kofi Cockburn, who received racist messages after their second round upset at the hands of Loyola Chicago from this weekend. So here's a quick story and note from the AP. Illinois big man Kofi Cockburn is the second player to face racist comments on social media following a loss in the NCAA tournament. Cockburn shared on Instagram a social media post directed at him after the top-seeded Illini lost to 8-seeded Loyola Chicago on Sunday. Cockburn was born in Jamaica. He posted a screenshot of the racist message and added, quote, "I blame his parents." That came a day after Ohio State's E.J. Liddell received threatening and insulting social media messages following the second-seeded Buckeyes loss to 15th-ranked Oral Roberts. Liddell posted images of the message, including one that said, "I hope you die, I really do." And there was some other graphic terminology in there that I don't care to use. But again, these are sort of things that athletes on all levels, whether it's high school, college, or especially professional levels, have to deal with now with the advent of social media. And it's unfortunate, to a certain degree, I say, these kids are on a public spectrum. I have sympathy for college students and especially the high school students. The professional athletes at the professional levels, I think, there's a little bit of a gray area there, but again, most of it crosses the line too often. So, where you give someone an inch, they usually take a mile, right? That's another cliche to tie back to earlier in the conversation. So I think the only thing worse than people who do this type of thing, who send these types of hateful social media messages, the only people worse than these guys are have to be like the old people who elbow out kids for autographs. Like, they're in the lowest of the low of rungs of people that I would like to choose to interact with on a daily basis there. Because I, again, what do you gain from this? What satisfaction do you get out of it? And I guess the big thing is that's maybe a good question to ask yourself before you do anything, that risk analysis there. So I think, reducing someone down to the race is not only indefensible, but it's weak, it's lazy. It's taking the most obvious thing about an individual and attempting to tear them down, for. So I think it's the lowest form of insult. It takes zero intelligence to do that sort of thing. And just from a personal standpoint, it says, more about the individual, hurling these type of insults than the ones receiving them. So in closing, I'd just like to leave you with maybe a little bit of levity after what could be a little bit of a heavier episode here for Sideline Session. So I like to go back to, I mentioned a big fan of TV and television shows and clip shows and that sort of thing here. But I think it was Rick from the animated show Rick and Morty, if you've ever seen it, though zany and absurd, kind of sums up this bird's eye view of how silly we all look for being so consumed by things like race that it's starting to bleed over into, an otherwise harmonious units like athletics. And again, that microcosm of life is that you could have people from different backgrounds and different thoughts, who have different thoughts and different ideas and ways of looking at the world and different financial outcomes and, different races even, and all come together for one common goal to achieve. And when that goal is achieved, I think it's a beautiful thing, and where none of that stuff matters. So it's kind of sad to see that become so important in people's lives when it really shouldn't be here. So Rick and Morty here, and then we'll come back and close the show out.
Oh my God, these snakes are a mess. 19 billion snakes divided into 10,000 nations, all on the brink of global war over... Oh, race? How funny is that? Imagine being a racist snake. Hey, other snake, I hate you because you're the wrong color snake.
All right. Again, a little bit tongue-in-cheek there with Rick and Morty, but I thought very funny, and it was a nice way to kind of wrap up the show here. But you know, I appreciate you guys staying with me. You know, tune in next week or on April 8th for our next episode, where we'll be back to our normally scheduled thing with guests. And that should be fun. So April 8th, our 13th episode, lucky number 13. So you can, once again, follow all of our brands on Twitter at @coach_AD, at Train Condition, at Winning Hoops. And then again, as always, myself, if you'd like, at Wesley Sykes _. But until April 8th, sports fans, I'm Wesley Sykes, and thank you again for listening to another edition of Sideline Sessions.